This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, even people not interested in sport will know of the FAI. They will know that down the decades, the FAI has been in a mess. The list of things that don't work in Irish soccer, the sport that is most participated in this country, is too long. But John Delaney has been banished. There are a number of reports yet to be published, including one from the Office of Corporate Enforcement, detailing alleged sins by John Delaney. The torch has passed to a new group, and prominent in that new group are people who describe themselves as visionaries. One is Roy Barrett, another is Gary Owens, and the other is Niall Quinn. They formed a visionary group, having met apparently at the K Club, and they were going to rescue Irish soccer. However, there has been this week an outbreak of dissent, and it's very considerable. And to discuss what's going on, because there's 36 million of government money immediately on the line, I'm joined now by two people who know. Gavin Cooney is a journalist and a very good one with The 42, which is the sports dimension to the journal, itself a very respected source of news. Gavin is one of the new young journalists to whom another torch has been passed from those of us who used to cover the FAI long ago. And also by Brendan Dillon. Brendan was a director of the FAI in 2003-2004. He was also chairman of the League of Ireland in 2003. And over the years, he's been a frequent critic of FAI governance. He's a solicitor. He knows what he's talking about. He's been advocating for reform for a very, very long time. And he is also currently Honorary Secretary of the Irish University Football Union and a partner in Dillon Solicitors in Dublin. Gavin, can I come to you first? And I'm very grateful to you for taking the torch off those of us whose lives were considerably shortened by covering the FAI. What is this new row about, and how come it broke out this week in such a spectacular way?
Thanks, Eamon. I don't want to be too dramatic in casting it in similar terms to the Anglo-Irish Treaty back in 1921, but it's actually useful because it's a very abstract and complex debate, but that's actually a useful metaphor to use here. So the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding with the government, that was signed by the independent chairperson, Roy Barrett, with the then sports minister, Shane Ross. So that agreed that the government would give the FAI a bailout in return for a number of reforms. The problem is, and that the root of this this rift at the FAI that is playing out very publicly and in quite an ugly manner today, is that they argue that Roy Barrett did not have the the plenipotentiary rights, if I'm pronouncing that right, to sign the agreement. He argues that he was given implicit consent to sign the agreement because the financial situation at the FAI is so bad. I mean, he's of the understanding that his main role was to rescue the FAI from insolvency and get the government money in. And the board are now saying that we didn't give you the explicit consent to do that because there was no board meeting called to discuss the proposals prior to Roy Barrett signing them.
Now, you were on Mary Wilson's Drive Time show yesterday, Gavin, and also on the show was Niamh Brennan, Professor of Corporate Governance at UCD and one of the most respected figures in the world of corporate governance. Mark McSharry, the Fianna Fáil TD, has said, and I'm quoting him, there's a level of grubbiness in the governance of the FAI. When that was put to Niamh Brennan by Mary Wilson, Niamh said, I wouldn't use that word, which is grubbiness. But she went on to say, I just don't think it's an appropriate word. But I don't get the impression that the FAI have got with the corporate governance program that they need to get to. And she cites an incident that happened in May. So clearly, in terms of corporate governance, there's an issue. And the issue is somebody signing a memorandum of understanding, committing the FAI to follow a certain course without the authority to do so. Can I introduce my next guest now, Brendan Dillon? Brendan, you're familiar with corporate governance and the law. If he didn't have the authority to sign this agreement, where does that leave the FAI in terms, and where indeed does it leave the government, and how much do we know about Mr. Barrett?
Okay, good morning, Eamon and Gavin. And can I just pick you up on one comment you made, which I think is so relevant, that soccer is the sport with the largest participation in the country. And that is down to the extraordinary amount of voluntary effort that goes on around the country. And so when we talk about troubles in the FAI, we should be careful that this is only confined to the top level of the game. Below it is a thriving industry of people who give so much to society and so much to young people in society. And it is an awful shame, as Gavin made reference there, that we are now embroiled in another dispute. I just want to make that initial point. But to now go back to the issue of the memorandum of understanding. And we're all, of course, operating with the disadvantage of not knowing exactly what went on. But there does seem to have been some clarity if we are to believe the newspapers, and certainly one of the newspapers made reference to emails that journalists had seen.
Yes, that was the Irish Times. Yes,
the Irish Times article. Yeah, exactly. That seemed to suggest that the and it now appears as though the memorandum was received by Roy Barrett on the evening before the meeting with the government. It was then circulated, I think, to board members on the following morning. And then there were some comments, it would appear, expressing grave concern by the FAI directors that they did not appear to go answered, and the memorandum was signed. So I suppose the first thing to say about a memorandum of understanding is that generally it's not regarded as being a binding document. It's a framework document which would lead to further legal documents. And I understand that the memorandum itself makes reference to further final documentation to be provided. So I think it is fair to say that if the government were willing, that they could change this document. And so the question really arises is this: how did 8 and 4, which were recommended by Aidan Horan and his group, who I think did, in a very short period of time, really impressive work, how did that suddenly become 6 and 6? What was it about the 8 football directors that made the government believe that they were not fit, or two of them not fit for purpose, and should be replaced by two independent directors. To me, it's a complete distraction. I believe that the governance review proposals and recommendations should be implemented, including the 8 and 4, and that should be given a period of time to bed in.
Now, just on the question of the 6 plus 6, Mary Wilson asked Niamh Brennan if 6 plus 6 with a casting vote, which would be given, as I understand it, to Roy Barrett, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Right. Now, that gives power to one side and takes a massive amount of power from the other. But what, here's what Niamh Brennan said. She said, yes, it's not a majority of non-executive directors. And she says, it is unusual. And that's now playing out in a bit of a dispute about who should have the casting vote and whether it should be an independent non-executive chairman of the board or whether it should be the president, who's also a board member. This is about power, exercising power and powerlessness. So it's at the heart of where the FAI goes in the future, isn't it?
It is. And the reason I use the word distraction, first of all, is not to in any way take away, and you described in your introduction as the FAI being a mess. It was a mess. And I am firmly of the view that, and I've always been of the view that the FAI is not capable of governing itself in so far as there should always have been a requirement for independent directors. The Governance Review Group probably went further than a lot of people expected by insisting or recommending on 4. Many people would have assumed that it would be 2. So for most people within the FAI, that would have seemed a lot, but they accepted those reforms. So the question now, and I understand, I heard Niall Quinn earlier in the week talk about we need unity, and it's not 6 v 6, it's 6 and 6. The reason this is a distraction is that this discussion, in my opinion, should not be taking place. Directors, of course, have an obligation to the FAI and to make decisions which are in the best interests of the company. But we do live in a real world, and the real world is the optics of this are that it is 6 independent people who don't have a history or a background in football, could be making decisions on the future, yes, of football against the wishes of 6 football people. Hopefully that will not transpire. But why do we need this argument? There are 78 recommendations that Aidan Horan's group recommended. My view would be, implement those recommendations and you don't need to worry about whether there are 6 directors on the board or 4, because 4 will be plenty.
Okay, now Gavin, the stakes are high here. Unless the FAI pass this at the EGM next Friday, they won't get the 36 million euros of taxpayers' money that they would get if they did sign it. And it looks, how does it look to you in terms of the probability or possibility of the FAI rulers getting this over the line against the wishes, I have to say, of what seems like a vast majority?
Yeah, the vote, Eamon, actually isn't taking place until the EGM on the 31st of August. So sadly, this is going to rumble on for another while. I don't know, to be honest. I mean, there is an increasing level of opposition on the council now. Maybe opposition is the wrong word, but increasing, more questions will be asked now of Roy Barrett and of the new hierarchy at the FAI. You'd imagine, given the stakes are so high, it will pass, because Roy Barrett wrote to all members of National Council last Tuesday to say that, lads, if we don't pass this, we're insolvent. And he listed a few potential consequences. That includes the Aviva Stadium essentially being seized from the FAI, some or all staff would lose their jobs, and then they would lose their membership of UEFA and FIFA, which would obviously make it very difficult to enter international teams into any competitions organised by them. So, I mean, I maybe I'm being hopelessly naive in saying surely they will pass given what's at stake. Now, what we may see is some kind of compromise. And Niall Quinn has been talking about this on News Talk this morning, the possibility that a rule may be brought which would change the casting vote. So give the casting vote to the president rather than to the independent chairperson. So that might be a change, or it might be a compromise made to get these over the line. What's interesting enough is the fact that there has, what Brendan said, that traditionally an MOU is open for interpretation, that it's not a legally binding agreement.
Yes.
Why people think, why the perception is that this is totally binding is because the government have insisted that this is not open for renegotiation. So there was a hope when the new government came in, when Shane Ross took his leave and Catherine Martin came in to be the Minister for Sport and all other things, they were hoping that it would be open for renegotiation. But she wrote to the FAI on the 9th of July to say, that's not the case. This has to stay. But there has been a slight tweak to one of the more contentious rules. One of the rules in the MOU says that council members with more than 10 years service have to leave council by this year. It said July 2020. That meant an AGM. That's obviously been delayed because of the pandemic. That's been tweaked now. Everyone has to undergo a fit and proper persons test that's been designed by FIFA. If they pass that, they can stay on.
I know. You must forgive me for laughing at the idea that FIFA is capable or indeed would have the credibility to design a fit and proper persons list, and also UEFA. I should point out that Gianni Infantino, the head of FIFA, is under investigation. Mm. Let me ask both of you a very pertinent question, I feel. Like all football lovers, I want the FAI and soccer to prosper. But I want to ask you, Brendan, who appointed Roy Barrett, who then appointed Gary Owens, who then also appointed Niall Quinn? Now, I've described this in public as a coup, a post-John Delaney coup. Who appointed Roy Barrett?
It is a very good question, Eamon. And unfortunately, the answer to which I don't fully know, but it certainly was a surprise. Roy has not had any involvement in football to any great extent for a very long time. I mean, I actually played some football with Roy many, many years ago. So I know Roy, but I don't believe he had any involvement in football. So he certainly wouldn't have been a name that was out there, I understand. I don't think it would be fair to name these persons, but two very high profile, very capable business people were offered to the minister.
Yes,
and were not.
Maurice Pratt was one of them, but Minister Ross had history with Maurice Pratt.
Okay.
When he was a journalist rather than a minister, he spent years pillorying Maurice Pratt from a height.
Yeah.
But the question arises, Gavin, I'll try you on this one. How can Roy Barrett, Gary Owens and Niall Quinn from a self-styled visionary group all of a sudden find themselves running the FAI? Who appointed them? What democratic legitimacy have they got?
I don't know. I think that
asking these questions?
There needs to be transparency on that. Now, Roy Barrett hasn't sat down with the Irish football media yet. I think he's due to speak after this meeting this evening. I'll take you through the processes by which the independent directors were brought in. So the FAI in Port Ireland hired an external recruitment firm called AMROP, who were sent off to identify potential independent candidates, and they also sought applications from anyone who wanted them. And then they drew up a shortlist and sent that shortlist to a nominations committee at the FAI. That nominations committee consisted of people from the FAI board, along with people appointed by Sport Ireland and an external recruitment expert as well. And they were sent a list of preferred candidates by the recruitment firm AMROP. There were no names on that. There were just profiles. Now, you know, some people had a sufficiently well-known CV that they could be identified, others less so. And as it's understood, and as the Irish Sun reported last month, that Maurice Pratt was at the top of that list and had been contacted at least once in relation to the role, and that Roy Barrett did not appear at the top of the list. And there is dispute among people as to whether he was on the list at all. So that needs to be cleared up. And there, what also needs to be cleared up, as you mentioned, are the connections with Gary Owens and with Niall Quinn. The visionary group, to just briefly explain that to listeners, they arrived on the scene last year at an event at the Mansion House in May, arranged by Shane Ross, called a stakeholder summit, in which people came together for a festival of as yet unpublished ideas for reform. They published their proposals for an independent League of Ireland. It was met by a very lukewarm response. And Niall Quinn said this week that was it. The visionary group essentially disbanded after that, and they didn't have another meeting. And while that may be true that they didn't have another meeting, the public perception that the visionary group had disbanded, that's difficult to square, because in July, Niall Quinn was among a couple of members of the visionary group, now Barrett and Owens weren't there, who presented to League of Ireland clubs at a meeting out in Abbottstown as to what the future could be for the League of Ireland, along with the Kieran Lucas All-Ireland group presented then as well. And even as late as October last year, the visionary group published a statement to refute a claim made by the FAI, actually, that the visionary group were out of this process. They said that they were still available to talk to League of Ireland clubs if they wanted to. So while it's true that they may not have a meeting, I think it's difficult to square that with the public perception that they had totally disbanded.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Brendan Dillon, who appointed Roy Barrett? And he appointed Gary Owens, and he also appointed Niall Quinn.
Yeah, it would appear, I mean, certainly the name would have, I am assuming, would have had to be approved by the minister. You seem to be very clear that the minister would not have approved Maurice Pratt. So clearly he approved.
This is a suggestion made in a piece by in the Irish Sun. There was a lot of history between Maurice Pratt and Shane Ross. When Shane Ross was writing for the Sunday Independent, he vilified Maurice Pratt. And it's reasonable to assume that he was unlikely, shall we say, to appoint a man he'd vilified.
From what I understand, and Gavin made reference to the nominations committee, so I have no doubt that it went through the nominations committee, but I understand that the signal was very clear that this was a name that was approved by the minister. So I think the FEI would have had a clear signal that this was it would be a good idea to make this appointment. I don't think we know any more than that.
Should the minister be exercising that kind of power over the FAI? Is that proper?
Well, and I think it's a very good question, Eamon, because this is now, and what's actually very strange is, I understand FIFA and UEFA have issued a letter of support. Now, I don't think it's quite this letter of support that it's been trumped. It's more or less saying you have no other choice but to go with this. But of course, for years, we heard about UEFA and FIFA threatening to shut down football federations by reason of government interference.
Absolutely.
Would say this is the greatest level of government interference that there has ever been in certainly the FEI, if not any other organization. So it is a very fair question you ask, Eamon, and it does boil down to the 6v6. Where did that come from? Because I heard on a podcast yesterday the former minister state that, oh, the COSI report changed everything. The debt was 55 million. The debt was over 60 million at one stage, and as recently as 3 years ago was still at 51 million. So the debt of 55 million actually wasn't so catastrophic that it should not have been raising concerns with both the minister and the sports council. It didn't merit a mention in any of the previous years. So I don't really think that's a credible reason as to why it justifies two extra persons from the outside, if we call it. The bottom line is this has caused unnecessary division within the game. It's a distraction. And I think the 8v4 model should be given time. And if they don't implement the recommendations, then I think the government would be within their right, or the sports council within, say, 2 years of the proposals not being implemented, to then say, you know what, you've had your chance and you don't have any more chances. I think it's unfair to the current independent directors, and I think it's unfair to the football directors that they have been put in this situation. I think if at all costs, the vote, which is scheduled for the 31st of August, should be avoided and some compromise reached in the interim.
Just let me ask you, Gavin, the independent directors are Roy Barrett and Gary Owens, correct?
No, not quite. Owens, so whereas when John Delaney was CEO, he was on the board. That's not the case anymore. So Gary Owens is CEO on an interim basis. The independent directors are Roy Barrett is the chairperson, Catherine Guy and Liz Joyce, and Robert Watt, the latter who people will know as the Secretary-General of the Finance Department.
Right, they're the independent directors.
Yeah.
Okay, and they will be part of the six, will they?
Probably. I mean, there is not. I don't think there's been enough clarity.
Who will run Irish soccer? That's the question we need to know, isn't it?
That is ultimately the question, and that is at the heart of the row that's going on at the moment. So Roy Barrett and Gary Owens and Niall Quinn are making the point that council, all you people who are angry at us at the moment and who are writing letters and issuing statements and talking to journalists and so on, you still have the power because you vote in an AGM and you have the power to change your rule or remove a board member and so on. Whereas the other side argue, well, six independents with an independent chairperson having the casting vote, they have the power to run Irish soccer. So that's at the heart of this. And it is a civil war that I worry will become a cold war. And even if this passes, like the working relationships seem totally fractured and destroyed. So I don't understand how we can, like, it's exasperating really to be talking about all this stuff still. Yes, it's even if this passes and if we're rescued from insolvency, I don't know how these people continue to work together without getting totally sent down blind alleys with rows and fights and divisions and so on. Because, you know, like Brendan said there at the top, like, there is a thriving soccer culture beneath the hierarchy. They've never been able to tap into that and harness it to go in the right direction. And it's why soccer has been left behind by rugby and GAA and will be left and will continue to be left behind.
Yes. I mean, just let me go to you, Brendan. Finally, in yesterday's Irish Times, Gary Owens said that this memorandum of understanding, which Roy Barrett signed, had been approved by the people who needed to approve it. That doesn't appear to be true, if I'm reading this correctly.
Yeah. It certainly doesn't appear because to be true.
They dispute that they had agreed it.
Certainly not in advance of the memorandum being signed. I think this has been clarified in the last 48 hours.
Mr. Barrett asserted that, and I quote him, he said, the process was quite fast at the end, but the board members had the same opportunity to review what the terms and conditions of the memorandum were, and they signed off on it. It was approved beforehand, even, I would say, reluctantly approved. Now, there are emails around which are believed to contradict that assertion.
They do. They contradict it on two grounds. First of all, they certainly suggest that it was the first time they were aware that six directors was being proposed. So the idea that this was signed off in advance doesn't appear to hold up because there are four emails referred to.
It would be Turkey's voting for Christmas, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. But and maybe, who knows, maybe they would have signed off on it. But the reality is the gun was, and to be fair to Roy Barrett, to a certain extent, the gun was probably put to his head. And I think we have to also, you know, put this in context. The FEI was in an appalling situation. It was facing bankruptcy. So would the board have actually turned around and said, no, you can have your money, we'll go bankrupt rather than go 6-6? I think unlikely. But that's not the point, actually, when we're talking about good governance. And we are being led to believe that the inclusion of independent directors is going to transform the FEI. And that is an example of where the governance principles fell down. Because the board were not consulted in advance. And I think it would have helped if they had been sent the document the night before. And there have been one or two other issues over the last number of months which would suggest that there's a long way to go before the governance sort of code becomes part of the FEI's DNA, and the blame can't all be levelled at the football directors.
Right. Now, Gavin, just a final point, Gavin Cooney. Sport Ireland, Kieran Mulvey is there, and John Tracy are there. Have they had a role in all of this? And are they quiet or silent on this memorandum of understanding? And whether, and the key question of whether or not it was approved before Roy Barrett signed it.
They have been very quiet, as is Sport Ireland's wont over the last few months. John Tracy was present at the Department of Sport the day the MOU was signed and presented to the media. And the Sport Ireland, like, they do meet with the FAI reasonably regularly. I know there's a governance oversight committee now. God, there's so many committees there at the moment, but there is a governance oversight committee on which Sport Ireland sit, and obviously they have a role in the independent in the appointment of independent directors, because they're on that aforementioned nominations committee.
Yes.
But in terms of publicly, not too vociferous a role so far. Now, as I am led to understand it, the that change to the 10-year rule that I mentioned earlier on in the MOU, the fact that that has changed this week has put a few noses out of joint to the Department of Sport, because given that Catherine Martin wrote that letter last month to say there will be no changes. So as I understand it, there's a Sport Ireland meeting. I think it might have taken place yesterday where that was raised. I haven't heard anything from that meeting yet. But it's difficult. I mean, Sport Ireland's role in all of this is very difficult to outline.
Okay, Gavin Cooney of 42, the sports arm of the journal, thank you very much for joining us. And Brendan Dillon also, thank you very much indeed, both of you, for joining us on The Stand. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.